runs all week long, Monday through Friday, from 9 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon. We had 91 children registered this year on any given day. Some kids come in different days, but I think we're in the 70s every day. So it was a real blessing. This was a VBS, as the guys, folks in our church have heard me say, I stressed a lot about this VBS. Planning was very difficult this year. Our staff was not as big as it's been in the past. We pull from a group of people from far and wide to help us run this VBS. And typically, we have in the past had many folks, young people from Brazil, from Camp Sahab there, camp, Christian camp that they work at, come. And this year it was Lucas and Amanda Vanoni, who arrived two and a half weeks ahead before VBS. They'd already been working on programs for VBS to get things organized, and they did a great job again. Before I get into the word this morning, this is our kind of VBS wrap-up. So for those who are not at VBS, or you maybe work for a little bit of the day, I thought I would just tell you, aside from all the planning that goes into it, just a typical day at Vacation Bible School. It starts at about 7 a.m., and that's when the kitchen staff arrives to get things prepared. Because we have breakfast together in the morning. The staff has breakfast together in the morning. So about 7 a.m., the kitchen staff arrives, maybe a little bit before then, to start to get things prepared. 7:30, 7 to 7:45, the rest of the staff arrives. And there's a lot of setup to do every day. We had 8 pop-up tents in the field this year, a lot of tables, chairs that have to be brought out every morning, broken down. In the evening, our registration area has to be set up and taken down each day. So that setup is what happens next. Then about 8 o'clock, we come inside to have breakfast together. Then we have a devotional together each day, sharing from the Word. Or a Friday, Josh led us in song. It was a really sweet way to end our time together for the week, singing together and time of prayer. Then Amanda will go through the daily schedule, because it changes each day, the activities that happen. We go through the daily schedule. Mitch tells us about the story, and we know ahead of time, but he reminds us of the story of the day, the theme of the day, and gives us a list of questions that when we break into small groups with kids, for the counselors to talk to the kids about. The kids start to arrive at about 8:40 or so, usually. And pretty much they're all here by 9 o'clock. Then the counselors have them out in the field in their tents and their groups and their teams. We call them icebreakers, some things to get the kids wake them up and get them ready to go. And from where we come inside the sanctuary, the chairs are all cleared away. Of course, we have worship time together. Josh leads in music. We all sing the song that we opened with today. Then Mitch comes with story time and Bible lesson time. The kids all sit for that. Then we break into small groups, and we can discuss the Bible lesson of the day with the kids, and it's a theme for the day. And actually, all the activities, or many of the activities that they do afterwards, are based around the theme of the day. It could be working together, teamwork, team building, things like that. It's all tied together. Then we go outside for activities, and the activities change every day. And this year we added some new activities, climbing. We don't have a climbing wall like they have in Brazil, but we had a climbing tree, blocks that went up 20 feet. Kids were in harnesses, helmets, rope, and we added a few new items this year on top of the zip line and others. And then there are other games and activities. Then there's a time of free time where they can choose whichever activity they'd like to play with. Their counselors stay with them through this time. Then it's snack time. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, then it's snack time. Then after snack time, we go back to more activities and games, all based around what we're learning for the day. Then it's time for lunch, which is allowed time in the basement, where the kitchen staff faithfully serves everybody. Then back out to activities, more activities. Kids rotate around from the various activities and games. Then free time, snack. Closing is at 3 o'clock. And then the staff, their day doesn't end. They work on breaking everything down that we set up in the morning. And then we all come in for a daily wrap-up meeting to talk about what went well, what can we improve, and close in a time of prayer. The first day, Amanda said downstairs, and she's mentioned it before to me in the past, that all the things that we do at VBS are an excuse to talk about Jesus. And Dawn did a little writing the other day. She sent it to Amanda and I, and she kind of focused on that comment by Amanda. And frequently we, whether we like to admit it or not, in circumstances, we look for excuses not to talk about Jesus. It's not a good time, I'm on the run, or things, you know. And Amanda was great in reminding us that all that we do at the week of VBS, everything that we do here with these children, it's an excuse to talk about Jesus. It's not just another day camp that get run around the world, around the country. This is a day camp with a very specific purpose. And all our interactions with the kids, it's all an excuse to talk about Jesus or exhibit Christ as he should be living through our lives, and we should be witnesses to them. So it was a great reminder on Monday as we started the week why we do what we do. I'm going to ask Amanda to come up. I don't know if it's Amanda and Lucas. One of the things they do in Brazil at camp is for the staff, which is young people, at the end of their camp weeks, the staff works very hard thinking out. We were very blessed this year. I jump around when I talk. I'm sorry. Cannot fix that. Almost 60. We are very blessed. We had so much help this year from kids that used to be little ones in VBS, and now they're too old to be in VBS, and they're working as staff. They run activities. They do so much. And the Venonis, since they arrived coming in the summer 5 years ago the first time, it's been on their heart to see our young people grow into leaders. It's been really the emphasis of what they talk about so much. So our young people turn into teenagers, and turn into teenagers with a heart and desire to serve the Lord. And it's really been a focus of their ministry. Those of you who know them, they're full-time missionaries now in Brazil at the camp in Gramado. So this year was really a joy to see that happen, as so many took place. Well, at the end of camp in Brazil, they come up with something they call fire names. And it's two words, and they think about it a lot. Last night at our kitchen table and driving in our cars, they were, you know, discussing, you know, these things. Two names that kind of describe each person and how they helped serve. So Amanda's going to do that now. Are we calling everybody up? Yeah? Okay. All right. So you want to say the name, sir? All right.
Okay. Oita. So I want to call Ceci, Eleanor, Lucy, Rebecca, Jonathan, Josh, Andrew, and Taylor.
Come on up.
Come on.
We don't have all day. We got a schedule to keep.
Okay, so I'll tell all the names, and this little guy will help me, or not anymore. So for Ceci, I'll read all the names, right? For Ceci, we chose aware and determined. For Eleanor, we chose sweet and trustworthy. For Lucy, leadership and dedicated. For Rebecca, joyful and transparent. For Jonathan, energetic and sincere. For Josh, talented and willing. For Andrew, persistent and creative. For Taylor, responsible and peaceful. We chose these names to... If you were in VBS, you already know that I cry a lot. But as Peter said, it's really important for us to have like youth with us, especially because we work with youth in Brazil. But it's important to know that they are so dedicated to serve the Lord and to be with us during VBS, not only because this church is, we have a lot of, different from Brazil, we have a lot of adults that help during VBS and make VBS happen, but I said a lot to them and for the staff, that it's really important to listen what they have to say for us too. And I learned a lot with him, with them during this week. And I told Lucas that my heart is a little, at the same time that we are happy, we are sad because we are leaving. And it's good to have someone really helping me and helping Lucas and helping during VBS. This week was really challenging because Vicente and these guys made everything really easier because they did a lot for activities, for as a counselor with Vicente, with even just giving me a hug when I needed. So these words really means a lot for us, and we chose specifically because you are really important for us. So, and for this church, of course. Right.
Let's just pray quickly for these young folks and others. Lord, we thank you and praise you so much for the young people that you bring to us, Lord, that have been, many have been brought up in this church or other churches, Lord. Many have come through this VBS program, and Lord, you've provided everything we needed this week, even when we didn't think we had enough. And these young people were such an integral part of this Vacation Bible School. So we just thank you and praise you for them. We pray that they continue to grow in their faith walk, Lord, that they grow closer to you and come closer to you each day, Lord. Be with them as we know you will be, and we pray that they continually rely on you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. So my next thought for today was to ask four people, actually, I think it was Amanda's thought, wasn't mine. I can't take credit for it. Ask four people to give brief testimonies about VBS this week. So I chose people who don't normally come before the microphone just so I could watch them be uncomfortable. It's not the reason, but because it's good to hear from different voices. Some of us are up here a lot, and so I've asked Judy, you guys can come up, Lucy, Ceci, and Lucas, just to give a brief testimony of their thoughts on Vacation Bible School this week, and either how it affected them or what they witnessed. So I'll let them do that. We'll start with Judy so she can get back to her post in the back.
Thank you. Hi. So my main responsibility is registration. And it's exciting as all to see so many kids sign up. And it's also exciting to see returning kids and returning families. And it's also exciting to see new families, new kids that are going to hear the gospel throughout the week for the first time, because that's what we want to see. And then the other thing is that gives... We're also in charge when the kids are coming in and leaving of the sign in and the sign out. And so we get to interact with the parents. And that's another great opportunity to see them, to try to share, to show them the love of Christ and just our actions and everything we do. But my big thing that I really, one of the big things is just watching the whole group work together. There are so many people that take part in VBS, from the kitchen staff to all the counselors to the nurses that we have. There was one day that we had all three nurses up here because we had a line of kids who had scrapes and bruises. And it's just so many people that are willing to give of their time and share. And I just wanted to share one verse. It's 1 Corinthians 12:27. And it's, all of you together are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of that body. And that's truly something I saw throughout this week.
Good morning, everyone. If you don't know me, I'm Ceci Kim, and I served as a counselor this past week. And if you don't know me, I study music education at Gordon College, and during the summer, I've been running Taekwondo schools back in New York. And this week was super, super special, and such a blessing for me to come serve you all and all the children. And I'm sure many of you know what it's like to kind of work with children, so I'm going to talk about just one thing that God has been revealing to me. And so one reminder that he's been placing on my heart is that the joy of the Lord is my strength, as it says in Nehemiah 8:10. And I needed a lot of strength this week, not just because of all the students and all the energy of the kids. But at the beginning of the week, I was completely attacked by mosquitoes for some reason. And my legs were like covered. I don't know if you saw, but as someone with a fairly bad allergic reaction to mosquitoes, I was pretty itchy. So I took Benadryl for a couple of days. So I was very drowsy. But somehow God provided me just enough strength for each day. And just interacting with all of the children and talking with them about Jesus, it really helped me remember the simple faith and joy I had when I was a child as well. And I was talking with one girl in my group who said she didn't go to church, so I asked her if she trusted in God after we talked about the Bible story of that day, and she said no. So I asked if she knew why it was important to trust God. And what she said was that God loves us first and he wants to help us. And so coming from a six-year-old, I was pretty impressed. But I also was really, I was reminded of the very lesson that God was reteaching me in this season, that trusting in him is the first big step that leads to completely surrendering and having joy in him. And so that means submitting to him my anxieties, my worries, my exhaustion, my thoughts and actions. And this week was a huge testimony to that. And just seeing everyone come together from a bunch of different locations to give their all to for one purpose was so beauty. It was so beautiful, and just giving God all the glory, it gave me so much joy to do that. And I just wanted to say thank you for this opportunity to serve with you all. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't talk in front of people a lot. So this week I was a part of the activities, and I was only here in the morning for every day because after the morning I would go and I had to work at noon. So I was only here in the mornings, but I did the morning activities. And I think they went really well considering it was very chaotic the first day. The kids seemed to really enjoy it. And I'm glad I was a part of it to make it all happen. I played a very small part because I was only here so few hours. But I think what my big takeaway from all this was, and just something that I kind of live by, is that everything, it will get done. Like, everything will get done one way or another, and that kind of helps me keep going. And it kind of helps ease everything, even if you're anxious and you know, like, God has a plan and you're just kind of going for the ride, I guess. And I'm glad I was able to help this week go even smoother. So thank you.
So I will read because I'm not secure with my English, okay? My experience in this VBS was completely different from the others. Despite my English or my insecurity, I felt used by God with the planning of the activities and as a counselor. With the activities this year, we tried to make a link with Coach Mitch's messages, and then even playing and having fun, the children would be able to learn lessons from each game. I believe that everything happened as God wanted. But for me, it was really cool to be able to plan and build some of these activities. As a counselor, I was able to work with the eldest kids. And in the first days, it was a challenge, but throughout the week, we developed a friendship, and the boys were able to talk about what they learned. On the last day, we were able to pray together, and the five gave their lives to Jesus. Maybe we'll never know if it was really from the heart, but something was definitely a lesson, and God touched the hearts of these boys. I am grateful to God for having been used by Him these days, and I'm sure that I will never have the right to stop serving Him, and I want to continue to serve Him. So thank you for the opportunity, and thank you for everything.
You all did great. At this point, I want to just recognize, as I said, people came from far and wide for this VBS. We've typically had folks from Brazil come up. Some of us met many years ago at an English camp there. This year, they couldn't all make it because of visa issues and schedules. But the Lord brought other helpers with us. So there were four girls. They brought Ceci from New York. Two girls from Pennsylvania, actually four from Pennsylvania, but I'll explain. Two, Diane and I met very briefly 4 years ago in Malawi when we were on our mission trip to start the mission in Gogo. We had lunch with these two young women who were missionaries at Kandanani Children's Village. The founder of that village, Annie Chigwaza, helped us start the mission in Malawi. But kept in kind of contact with these two women. They were there for 3 years as teachers. One was principal of the school, one was a teacher. And when they returned to the United States, they brought two of Annie's oldest children to start college in Pennsylvania. So the four of these young women, two Malawian and two from Pennsylvania, drove up. They arrived last Sunday night, a week ago today, at about 8 o'clock. Lucas and I met them here at the church. We showed them, they'd never been here before. Showed them the church grounds, and that night we spent with Amanda in training them as best we could to what lay ahead. The rest of us had more training than that. But the girls were great and interested. I asked them if they would return to work with us next year, and they would like to. But Friday afternoon, when the older kids, the fours and fives were outside, the older kids came up after lunch, and Amanda wanted the girls from Malawi to tell a little bit about their lives, because obviously both orphans and both raised from infancy in Kandanani Orphanage in Malawi. So Tandi and Joe came up, and Tandi's a little more shy, so Joe did most of the talking. And when we get the kids together in a group, you know how kids are, and especially my group, which is boys, younger boys, they don't always sit still, and we're trying to get them to listen and things like that. But the first words that Josephine said was, she introduced herself, and she said, "My mommy and daddy died when I was very little, and I was raised at Kandanani Orphanage." And the kids, that was the quietest they were for the week, as she told a little bit about her life. And they asked questions. Of course, as kids, a lot of it were, "Why did your parents die? How did they die?" which she answered very freely. What was it like growing up in the orphanage? And she said it was wonderful. It was her time. There are 168 children raised in that orphanage and at different ages. And she showed a video from Kandanani. And it's a video that was produced by God TV in Europe. But I thought we'd show it here today. I talked about it a lot this week, and we've talked about it a lot in this church, but we are all single threads of a faith that God uses to weave a perfect tapestry beautiful tapestry. And we have no idea, because we're looking at it from this level, what God's plan is. But God's looking down on it, and these plans have been set in stone eons before we were here. And so a one-hour lunch in Malawi 5 years ago led to God providing workers that we were in desperate need of to come to this small church. And we had people, this is a little church, people from three continents working together, people traveling from other states coming together for a week to work together to serve the Lord. This doesn't happen by chance. I don't believe in coincidences. Every interaction, every meeting we have with someone is for a purpose, for God's purpose, and we can either be faithful or not. But if we're faithful, God has a grand plan, and we're all part of it. Lucy said, I didn't contribute much. I was only here half a day. No, that was God's plan, and you did contribute as much as anyone else. It's not the time that you put into it. It's the heart that you put into it that matters. So I just want to show this. This is the video of Kandanani, the little girl who narrates this. It may be hard to understand a little bit, but it'll show you where these girls were raised. It is an oasis in the poorest country in the world. But the little girl at the end, Annie is their mom, and a Dutch woman who founded it. But she said, my father is the father to the fatherless, this little girl says at the end. God is our father, all of us. He is, to be chosen by him, adopted into his family. There is no greater love than that. And these kids know that. And, I said to Josephine after Joe, I said, did you ever think you'd be a missionary to the United States, growing up? And she said, oh. I said, you are. What's a missionary? Someone that goes and tells the good news, shares the good news. She's a missionary this week, And she was very faithful in that. So was Tandi. Just a little plug for Kandanani. Annie, who become a dear friend of ours, and Diane and I have had the privilege to be there. They're always looking for missionaries. So young people, if you are looking to teach, actually you saw Leah in those videos, one of the girls who came here when she was teaching there. And for anyone older, Annie's looking for, the kids all live in houses, and they each have Malawian mothers who work there. But she's looking for, it's called the Mother of Mothers. It's someone to coordinate all that. And she's in desperate need of someone to help with that. Her right-hand person and assistant, Cherie, died of COVID a year and a half ago. So they're in need of that. But anyway, keep Kandanani in your prayers. And if you have any interest, you feel God moving your heart to serve there, speak to me. And I can put you in touch with Annie. And she was so pleased. I told her a few months ago that the girls were going to come here to serve with us. She was thrilled, and I told her Friday evening, I guess, that they had done a great job, and she should be so proud of them. And she just, her desire is for all of her children just to serve the Lord, and they're doing that. During VBS, as you know, I said we had 91 children register, and you have these like little encounters that really sometimes to some people seem meaningless or just random, but this isn't really the text we're using, but I ran into a local guy named Jerry in the parking lot who had come to drop something off to Pastor Caleb, and he said, wow, look at all the kids. And I said, yeah. I said, we had 91 register. And immediately he said, well, that makes me think of Psalm 91 where the Lord, brings us under his wing. And Jerry had no idea what a challenge this VBS was and what a challenge we were facing as we started with a small staff and we started to lose staff during the week. I just thought about what he said, and he made two comments. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. And we experienced that this week. Through all the challenges, the Lord just collected us in his care, and we could feel that presence. And then Jerry mentioned Mark, not by verse, but Mark 10:13. This is the Lord's wish, and this is, we pray and hope, what happened this week. Where people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them. We learned as counselors, as staff here, and we do every year, so much from children about their innocence, about their eagerness to learn, about their openness and honesty when they have struggles or days not going well. We learn a lot about the human condition, you know, because they're not perfect. You know, when the children came to Jesus, I'm sure they didn't sit quietly at his feet if they're anything like any child I've ever met. You know, there was probably a lot of noise and scuffling about because since the fall, that's us. So we're all fallen, including children. But we all also have that need. And Jesus teaches and taught very clearly that the faith of a child, that should be our we should learn from that. And hopefully we do. I'm going to read from 1 Thessalonians verses 1-7. Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these words. We thank you for your word and the fact that we have it. We thank you for this book that you've given us, this guide to our lives, this document that exposes you to us. You know us, Lord. We don't need a book to describe ourselves to you. But you gave us this word so that we would know you more fully and that we would use it as a guidepost to our lives. And we pray that we do that. So we thank you for this word, Lord. And we pray that these simple words enlighten us and teach us, Lord. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I used the beginning of these first three verses as my devotional on Monday morning this past week as we began our week of Vacation Bible School. After, you know, months of planning and many, many obstacles, the time we had been anticipating had finally arrived. And it is just, it's for me, it's a strange feeling that Monday morning when we gather because, you know, in the buildup to it, it feels like the day will never come. And then, boom. It's here, and we're finally here. The training is over, and we know that in a few short hours, children will be arriving, their parents will be trusting them to us, and it's really time to do the work of the Lord. So it's a strange feeling. You know, so many members of our church had contributed time, money, items for this VBS. People around the world, literally around the world, and in this body had been praying for this ministry. And our visiting staff had finally arrived from Brazil, Malawi, Pennsylvania, and New York. Believers literally from around the globe assembled at a small church in Narragansett, Rhode Island, to serve a community and share the love and gospel of Jesus Christ with 91 children and their families. As I drove to church that Monday morning, I didn't know what my devotional would be. I knew I was first up, but I had not prepared. And so I just prayed, Lord, just give me whatever message you would have me speak. Lead me to a part of scripture. Give me the words to say. And after I arrived and looked through my Bible, it was before a lot of folks were here that first morning, and was a little anxious to get here. And he led me to 1 Thessalonians. I felt like the Lord wanted me to share with the staff the how, why, and outcome of VBS if we faithfully followed his call and gave him all of the honor and glory. Just get a sip of water. Pastor Caleb, he was really the first to fall. He was supposed to be a counselor this year. He was supposed to do devotionals on Monday morning, and then COVID hit their household. So we had to make some last-minute changes. I became a counselor. One of the things for the guys, me being the oldest counselor for the guys, Aubrey also second in line, and then Kevin behind him, you know, a week of chasing these kids around, the Brazilian VBS that they brought, when one thing they taught us is to keep these kids moving and active. And then when you sit them down to learn a lesson, they're gathering their rest, and they're more apt to listen. So it was a lot of running around. And, you know, and falling. Aubrey did a, chasing a kid, a big face plant. I thought he must have broken his nose. But Kevin's in much better shape than Aubrey and I think we can all agree that. But watching, you know, Aubrey walking and myself by the end of the week, a lot of ibuprofen and keep on going, but the Lord got us through. But anyway, Caleb sent me a message this morning that, you know, the kids were still sick. They wouldn't be able to be here. And I asked him just to pray for me. I said, because it's not much of a sermon. It's pretty short. And he reminded me, he said, short sermon, big God. And then the words to that first song we sang, all my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. And I was reminded, and I think about it often, the truth that are in children's songs about the Bible and how uncomplicated this faith really is. And we try to make it complicated sometimes. There's a lot of, this is theology, and it's great to dig into it. It's great to learn more about it, but not for head knowledge to share with others. But really, when you get right down to the gospel message, it's pretty simple. And sometimes we muddy those waters. And that's what I love about, you know, the Bible, you know, the B-I-B-L-E, you know, the book for me. You know, all those songs that we of a certain generation anyway learned. I mean, it's the truth, and it's the simple truth. So hopefully that's what you'll get today. So we're just going to go through mainly the first three verses as I did the other morning, but we'll start with verse 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. Won't get into detail, but Thessalonica was a city in Greece. It was founded in 315 BC by Cassander of Macedon. He was a general for Alexander the Great. He married Alexander the Great's half-sister, and her name was Thessalonike, and he named the city after her. It became the second largest city in the Roman Empire. It was a very important city, and it was full of false gods. It was just full of them. So that's just your little background of this city. As I said, we're going to kind of move along here. Verse 2 says, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. As an elder in this church, this verse reminded me of the time spent by our elder team in prayer for this body. And it encouraged me to pray more. It encouraged me that we're not praying enough. We're praying for you guys. But Paul's talking about continually. And it's easy now from in that seat to, after what I just said, to say, yeah, you guys aren't praying for us enough. But this is not just a model for elders. This is a model for all of us. We are to be devoted to one another in prayer, and that is throughout Scripture. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul says, "And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe." In 3:9, "How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you?" Paul is always praying for believers. So it's not just the work of the elders, although I will confess, the elders, we need to get better at praying, but we all need to get better at praying. And not just thinking of, I've mentioned this before, one little pet peeve I have in our society is people are always telling somebody, "I'll pray for you. Oh, you'll be in my prayers. Oh, I'll pray for you." Boy, if you take that lightly, society can do it. If believers, I've said it before, if you're telling someone you're going to pray for them, you better pray for them. Don't ever tell someone they'll be in your prayers and you don't take a minute to pray for them. Because that's really an affront to God, not just to that person. Because you're lying to the Lord when you make that declaration. So be very careful when you say that to someone. "I'll be praying for you about that." Make sure you're praying for them about that. "I'll put you on my prayer list." Make sure they get on your prayer list. And our prayer lists grow as we get older. So it's a good word of encouragement to us. In verse 3 says, "We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, of course, when we read this verse, for me anyway, we're drawn to the three words that Paul uses a lot, right? Faith, hope, and love. Paul uses those three words together often, but separately also. 2 Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians 13. That section is used in weddings very often, taken out of context about, love being what love is like. And at the end of that in 13:13, Paul says, and after this, all these three remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love, right? But this is a theme Paul uses all the time. So when we read this verse very frequently, those are the words, boom, 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 we hit on, faith, hope, and love. But it's interesting, and I was so blessed that the Lord led me to this at the last minute verse, because what does he say here? "We remember you before God and Father for your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, those are three words that many people wouldn't think you'd hear a lot from Paul, right? Because Paul's very clear that we're saved by faith, right? Saved by grace through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That is how we're saved. Ephesians 2:8-9, Paul says, "For it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, as if the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Boom, end of chapter. But no, boom, it's not the end of the chapter. Those two verses were for many years part of my memory work. And then years later, I added verse 10 to it, because why are we saved? "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." As I said earlier about the threads in the tapestry, God has prepared all of these works. God knew about this VBS. God knew about every work that he has called us to before we were born, right? God didn't get introduced to us when we came out of the womb, right? Psalm 139 tells us, before we were woven together in our mother's womb, the Lord knew us. And the Lord knew had a plan for each and every one of us. So it's through our obedience to his plan that he had called out before we were born. And we're clearly not saved by works, but we are clearly saved to works. James happens, really one of my favorite books of the Bible, because it's just like so clear of it's like the Proverbs of the New Testament of how we are to live. And people would frequently think James and Paul must have been at odds, because it sounds like, without digging into it, James is talking about works a lot. But he's not talking about works separate from faith. He's talking about the fact that we're called to works, and that our faith really, you know, James says, can our faith be real? Can it be true if there's no work included in it? And it astounds me sometimes with believers or people who claim to be believers. And some of them may, you know, I'm sure it's nobody here, but may spend a lot of time in the Word. But there's no action in their life. You don't see any fruit, because they're not out there in the world doing what the work that the Lord has called them to. And I'm not talking about a preacher who studies and preaches, because that is the work that they're called to. I'm talking about believers. I mean, we are, right, Christian soldiers marching as to war. I mean, we are the ones that are sent out. You know, the Great Commission sends us out. We're not to stay in our homes, even with the Word locked away. I mean, if you are physically, I shouldn't even say that. I was going to say if you're physically unable to get out there, but that's not even true. I think of June Webster, the oldest member of this church who I happen to have the opportunity and blessing to visit. June's 97. June can't get around anymore. June is still writing letters to our missionaries. June is still knitting little knit caps for babies who are born in Rhode Island. She is still doing God's work at 97 years old and unable to move around as freely as she did in the past. So there's no point in time in our lives where we're not called to do some work. And you're doing it. And we need to be doing it. So our faith is religion is based on faith in God's grace and love for us, demonstrated in his son Christ. We all agree with that. But as I just said, we're not called to sit idly by and wait for the Lord's return. Our hope is in the return of the Lord, and it's not a wishful hope. It's a hope of certainty. But we're not supposed to be standing around looking up at the sky waiting for his return. He's called us to work. There is a reason that we're still here. We're called to be disciples of Christ and workers for the kingdom. We're saved by faith. Yes, we agree with that. Let me just look at Romans 12:11 here. I made a note. One thing I love about flipping through my Bibles, I have these bookmarks from everywhere. So, you know, VBS 2017. What a great reminder that is. Verse 4, back in 1 Thessalonians, for we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. And 5 goes on to say, because of our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power of the Holy Spirit. But we are chosen. In verses 28 to 30. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul says, for we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. We are individually chosen. This wasn't a group package, right? This wasn't the party pack of little potato chips that we were all happened to be in. And God said, you know, I'm going to call everybody on this street, whoever you are. I don't know your names or numbers, but you're called. No, we were individually chosen. We were selected. It's wonderful to have a natural father. But to be adopted, and many folks in this congregation have adopted children. To be adopted, what a joy. To be selected, what a joy. And as followers of Christ, we are adopted into that family. He individually selected each of us. What a blessing, what a joy. We were chosen. Verse 5, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. So all of this happens through the work of the Holy Spirit. The power that we have to endure is not our power. Last week we sang the song to kick off this week, yet not I, but through Christ in me. As I was looking to start VBS week, I was very anxious, I was very tired, and very often feeling probably a little sorry for myself, and like, how can we do this? And that song, when we selected it, was just a perfect reminder. It is not me. It is not my strength. It is, you know, not Aubrey's hip. It's, you know, God is the one who gives us strength. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. And that is through, how does that manifest itself? It manifests itself within us. We have the Holy Spirit. Believers have the Holy Spirit living within us. Verse 6 that you be, says, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed this message, the message in the midst of severe suffering, with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. We'll go on to 7 and 8. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Not to glorify ourselves, ever, but to glorify God. This is what we hope the outcome of our labors are, that God will be glorified in our community by our faithful service to him, by our love for one another that is witnessed by people in our community, by our love for their children, as Jesus loved the children, within our community, so that we become a fragrant aroma, not only lifted to God, but to spread throughout our community. That is what our hope for Vacation Bible School or ministries such as this need to be. And from what I heard, God blessed that wish that we had. So many parents, a neighbor of mine on Wednesday, you know, I live in Wakefield out on Curtis Corner Road across the street, you know, said, geez, I heard your Vacation Bible School is going great, you know, and so many parents, we had kids that had come for the first time. We didn't advertise this year. We didn't even put a banner out front because we were concerned about we wanted to put on a safe and quality Vacation Bible School for the children that came. We closed down registration, and I'm not proud of this because it was a difficult decision for us to make. 2.5 weeks before Vacation Bible School started, because when we hit the 90 number, we were like, okay, we don't physically have the staff to do this safely for these kids. So the word is out in the community, and many kids who came for the first time this year were so blessed. Their parents had heard about Vacation Bible School. The parents had heard about your love for their children. As we've said before, for a lot of folks, because it's an all-day VBS, it's free daycare. But what do we care? We get to talk about Jesus. It's an excuse to talk about Jesus. And through the children, into the families, is our hope and prayer for them. And many have really responded to that. A lot of kids go to other churches. There are a lot of kids that don't go to any church. There are a lot of kids who know nothing about Jesus. And it's an opportunity for them to learn about it and for us to plant the seeds. As Lucas said with his boys, we don't know the results, right? The Lord knows what the results will be. That's not our worry. Maybe our worry, but it's not our concern. That's the Lord, right? We're called to plant the seeds, to water, to do anything we can to not be a stumbling block and just share the good news as we know it. That's all it is. It's telling our own story, and it's telling the story of Jesus and how he's changed our lives. So our prayer should and always will be that this fragrance, that it is a sweet and pleasing fragrance to the Lord, and that he'll fan that fragrance throughout our community, and he'll do it by any means that we need. Luca, who preached, one of the Brazilians years ago, said, you know, his sermon title was, "You have everything you need for this mission." And I needed to remember that over and over again as we led up to this, because I didn't feel like we had everything we needed. We have everything you need for this mission. And as people dropped during the week, I was thinking about one of Mitch's stories of Gideon going to battle. And you've got too many people. It's like, we don't have enough people. You know, no, so these stories where God just proves his faithfulness to us. And the week was a success, but not a success because of us, but we got to participate in it. And we just will now continue in prayer for the young people and their families, that they will all come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and experience that, you know, the saving grace of God. So I'll just close just thanking everyone again for all that you've done. And if you're a visitor, thank you for being here today. As I said, there are no coincidences. You're here for a purpose, even if it's to hear this message and bring it back to your own church or somewhere in the future. God will use every opportunity that he has, and he has every opportunity at his disposal. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for all that you've done for us, Lord. Yes, Father. Oh, you are an awesome God.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you for that. Thank you for the blessings of the past week. We mm-hmm. continue to pray for those in the congregation who are not feeling well, that they be healed soon.
Yes.
We pray that we continue to be faithful to you, Lord, giving all honor and glory to you as we move on to our next week and our next day. Help us to be good neighbors to those around us. But thank you again, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Yes. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.